Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 29 and verse 30. If you find it, would you please stand as we reverence the Word of God. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You may be seated. I'm going to use this set of verses in a topical way this morning to talk on the topic, D is for deliverance. Father in heaven, may you now consecrate your word, for indeed your word is power and your word is truth. May you bless both the hearing as well as the preaching of your word. Into your hands, and I'll commit this time of preaching. In Jesus' name I pray. The church say amen. It won the Primetime Emmy Award in the year 2009 for the outstanding reality show. The A&E highly acclaimed documentary reality show that is called Intervention. It is a reality show that tries to bring attention to the enormous social, economic, an environmental cost of drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and compulsive behavior. Each episode follows an addict in their daily lives and follows the devastation their addiction brings into their families and their loved ones. And by the time they reach the brink or they reach the precipice, the loved ones and family will stage an intervention where they will get a specialist to come to talk to the person that is going through addiction with the hope of trying to get them to seek help before it is too late. This reality show, I believe, is a vivid reminder of one of the growing problems in our contemporary culture, the problem of addiction. From the suburbs to the inner cities, from the mansion to the row houses, from Wall Street to Main Street, from the rich to the poor, the problem of addiction is ripping through the fabric of this culture like a tornado. While we boast in our technological ingenuity and enlightenment, yet we are becoming a culture that is caught in the revolving door of addiction and compulsive behavior. This past week, in response to the growing numbers of overdose death due to drugs, the governor of Maryland actually signed a bill into law that will help combat the problem of opioid addiction that is killing many of our young people. And according to the Surgeon General report in the year 2004, the estimated cost to society of substance abuse and addiction is over half a billion dollars. $559 billion a year. Unfortunately, this problem has found its way into the Church of Jesus Christ. There are a few, perhaps many, sitting in our pews that are struggling with one kind of addiction or the other. And one of the addictions that is actually becoming so rampant in the Church of Jesus Christ among a segment of people is the addiction to pornography. Like one notable Bible teacher once said, he said, it is the cancer that is chewing and killing the spiritual life of many within the Church of Jesus Christ. And though we have many who come to church that has the posture of spirituality, that talk the talk of spirituality, but within is a struggle with addiction. It is a struggle with addiction of various kinds. And though they promise themselves that they will get rid of it, they promise themselves that all is going to be well, but yet the cycle of addiction is still unbroken. Well, this morning, the Bible is not oblivious of the problem of addiction. I believe the Apostle Peter actually captures for us the true definition of addiction. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For what a man is overcome by this is enslaved. Whatever overcomes you, you have become a slave." And that is the picture of addiction. But this morning, regardless of what ever addiction that you're facing, regardless of what your struggle is in the area of addiction, I believe the Bible has a recipe for deliverance. I believe the Bible has a recipe that you, if you implement it, can experience freedom. Now, I need to throw a caveat here. I'm not this morning trying to discount the scientific or medical methodology of treating addiction. Rather, my goal is to explore the Bible and give you biblical prescription of how you can be delivered from whatever addictive behavior, compulsive behavior that you're struggling with. And this morning is going to come through this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 5. As a preamble, what I want to do first is to establish what I call the understanding of the dynamics of addiction. What and how do we understand addiction? Fundamental to the understanding of addiction is one truth. Addiction never happens in a vacuum. There is always mitigating factor or factors that trigger addiction. Now, all those mitigating factors that trigger addiction can actually have its root in one three-letter word called sin. Since humanity is estranged from God because of our fallen nature, that also means we are estranged from the source, the true source of happiness, fulfillment, and significance. As such, in order for us to now achieve happiness, fulfillment, and significance, sin then cleverly deceives us and presents for us a delusion of fantasies, pleasures, and reliefs that are temporal to pacify that longing for happiness, our longing for significance, longing for something in your body. And since it is temporal, your constant repetition makes it into an addiction. So in essence, the addiction that you face is because of the constant repetition of the false promises and delusions presented by sin. That is why in every addiction, you won't find one of these three things in every addiction. You can either find pleasure, you can either find fantasy, or you can find a source of relief. But all of them are temporal. You go and you sleep with anybody you want to sleep with because that is your pleasure. But you never satisfy. You do crack. You smoke it today, you feel good, then you get down and you want to go back and do it. It's addictive. In essence, every time we try to break the cycle of addiction, what we're trying to do in essence is to demolish. May I remind you, is to demolish the false promises and delusions created by sin. Can someone help me this morning? That is what we are trying to do when we're trying to bring things into sense and break the cycle of addiction. But Pastor Wally, wait a minute. What about Christians? Christians who are being regenerated, have been saved, have been sanctified on their way to heaven. They no longer have that innate nature. They have the innate nature, but they now have the Holy Spirit dwell within them. Why are still Christians struggling in addiction? Why do Christians still struggle with addiction? I have reasons why. The first reason why Christians struggle in addiction is because of the flesh unwavering determination to exploit your weakness. The flesh unwavering determination to exploit your weakness. Let me work this out for you. Before each one of us came to Christ, we had this sin. Before we came to Christ, we have this sin that makes us to easily stumble. For some of us, it might be women. For some of us, it might be going to the strip club. For others, it might be all kinds of sins. But those sins in the flesh makes us stumble. Now we come to Christ. We are regenerated. We are made afresh. And the old is gone, the new has come. And we're going on our way to heaven. Everything is hunky-dory. But one thing that is still present in each one of us is the flesh. And the residue of that flesh, once it knows it can't get you anyway, it goes back to the weakness that you used to have. And it begins to press your button. And every time you say, Lord, help me. But if you're not vigilant, you're not prayerful, the more, because it's relentless, the more it presses your button, the more it gets you there. And if you're not, if you know, you will fall. That is why you find Christians that they repeat the same sin they used to do in the world while they are saved. They don't develop new sin. They just reinvent their old sin and put a spiritual covering over it. And in a very unique story, I don't know the pastor's name, but there was a young pastor from Florida, a man that got delivered from drugs. And we're told, according to the story, that he had a mega church in Florida. But he died in New York in a motel with a prostitute doing crack. The reason I believe or I speculate is because the flesh was unrelenting. That what he has got you before, he wants to ripple it. That is why, as a believer, whatever that has kept you in chain before, watch out. The flesh won't reinvent any other temptation. It will tap in to your whole self. Number two reason. While Christians, I believe, struggle with addiction, it is because of the failure to put closure to the trauma of the past. Every single one of us sitting here saved did not come to Christ with an empty plate. I wish we all did. I wish when you're saved, they just erase every memory of your brain and you just fresh, fresh. Oh, yes, you'll change. Your perception has changed. The perceptive have changed. A lot of things have changed in you. But this is the key. While the Holy Spirit is conforming you to the image of Christ every day, you have a work to do. You got to seek to put closure to those things in your past that you thought your salvation would remove. Watch this. Some might have problem with their fathers because they've been abandoned. And that abandonment has called rebellion, and that rebellion has led to addiction. So in order to be able to nip the addiction, they got to go to the root of the problem, which is they're mad with their paps. Some have been sexually molested, and they found themselves acting up in a sexually depraved way. And people are wondering, why are they so promiscuous? Though they're saved, they still have the honey in their bunny. And every honey in their husband is every other honey that is a brother in the church of God. So the problem is that how do you fix that? You don't try to fix the honey, but you go back to issues in the past that you have not dealt with because there are traumas in our lives that many of us think they disappear because we're saved. They don't disappear. The present. So when you begin to act out, you got to kind of look back. That I'm saved and I still feel like this. What is wrong with me? Number three. Pastor Wally, why do we struggle with addiction? Because of our unwillingness to grow in grace. Now, watch this. Watch what I said. Unwillingness, not inability. Every one of us got the ability. But the question is that, are you willing to put in work into growing in grace? Listen, coming to church and listening to me for 30 minutes is not enough for you to grow in grace. Listening to Minister Lewis play and you get excited is not for you to grow in grace. To grow in grace, you need to go deep down into your inner room, into your closet. You need to make your closet your home. You need to practice spiritual discipline of fasting, meditation, the word of God. Now, watch this. If you don't do that, you actually leave yourself vulnerable for temptation. And listen, the devil is not, as I said, he's not going to reinvent any other temptation. Some of you ain't drunk in your life. The flesh ain't going to give you no liquor because you know you ain't going to get you. You look at the liquor because you ain't tested. Even if you taste it, this don't sound good. But man, you drank liquor before. And they put a bottle of Hennessy in front of you. Give me, oof, good old boy, I miss you so much. After 4 years, give me more. Or someone give you, maybe you've been smoking some joint a long time ago. You gave it up and all of a sudden the devil begin to tempt you because you ain't going to church. Ooh, boy, I miss that stuff. Why you miss it? Because you ain't grown in grace. And my brothers and sisters, for you to have deliverance, for you to begin, you got to understand the necessity of growing in grace. But I've not got to the recipe yet. Pastor Wally, did God give us a recipe for deliverance? Yes, he did. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. I want to pay attention to the verse 29. The first recipe for deliverance is this. Identify and acknowledge your addiction. Watch verse 29. If your right eye makes you stumble. Go to verse 30. If your right hand makes you stumble. What Jesus is saying there is that identify what's making you stumble. If you know what is making you stumble, this is the first and foundational principle of deliverance. You got to know that I got a porn problem. You know, this is where we lie to ourselves. Because you say, you know what, I only watch it once every other week. Once every other week, multiply that, divide that by 20, 24, 22, or 26, and you figure that out, how that's going to be. Or you say, listen, I only drink on Friday when I go to happy hour. Or I only smoke crack on Tuesdays because I'm off on Wednesday. That is the deception that you, and many of us find a way of justifying our own addiction that we're not brutally honest with ourselves. You're not brutally honest that you got a problem. Listen, you got a problem when you are repeating a lifestyle that is destroying you every time. You got a major problem. Stop cutting it off. Don't stop spiritualizing it. Be honest with yourself. I'm struggling. I need some help. Now, I'm going to put a caveat here. It's good to acknowledge it to yourself, but you're not the best person to fix it. I can say to myself, I got a problem with women. But listen, it's good for me to know that. But for me to seek help, I need to tell somebody that can hold me accountable. The implication that many of us do is that we acknowledge our struggles, but we acknowledge it to ourselves and ourselves alone. And then your heart begins to tell you, you can fix it, you can do it, and you believe your own lie. But you are afraid to expose yourself to others, because when others know, you know that when that secret is out there, you are now forced to now begin to live right. If your problem is chasing after prostitutes, and you do it once a month, you are addicted. Something is wrong with you. You got to acknowledge that, and not only to yourself. Find somebody. Talk to a pastor. Talk to a spiritual, mature person that can begin to tell you, I'm holding you accountable. I'm holding you accountable. I'm going to check your computer. I'm going to check your veins every time you go out. I'm going to check your breath. I'm going to check your car. I'm going to check you out because I want you to be accountable. But how many of us are so open to want to be accountable? All of us in line. You're lying to ourselves. Many of us in the church ain't accountable to nobody but ourselves. And every time you're accountable to yourself, you're getting ready to fail. Because accountability to yourself is just pure lie. Because you can deceive yourself into believing a lie. But you must identify and acknowledge that what I'm doing is unmanageable. And interestingly, when you go to the AA, I've not been there, but the first thing you need to do is to say, this problem is unmanageable. Number two, still in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, and it says, verse 29, cut or tear it out. I want to go to verse 30. Cut it off. I want you to pay attention to that. The second recipe for deliverance is that you must completely be radical about your deliverance. Listen, you must be completely, by whatever means necessary, get this out. Jesus used that strong imagery to let you understand that when you got a problem, you don't play around with it. Nobody has cancer and take Advil every night to go to bed. Why don't you take Advil and hoping your cancer is going to be healed? The reason you don't is because, you know, Advil ain't doing nothing for you. You got to go through chemo. You got to go through radiation. You got to go through surgery. They got to cut you. They got to go deep down. They got to remove the junk. They got to be able to do chemo. They got to check you out after a while. They got to do a body scan. They got to make sure that it ain't coming back. They got to keep an eye on you because they got to get rid of this stuff. And the same thing when it comes to addiction, you got to be willing to say, listen, I'm ready to go to rehab. I'm ready. I got a problem here. I'm ready to go. I got to leave my job. Yes, then I'll take a leave of absence. I'm going. You got to be willing to say, listen, I got to move to another city. Because this city ain't for me no more. There is something here that ain't right for me no more. Some of you live in the same neighborhood where they sell crack and you want to get healed. You can't get out. Why? Because you know the crack joint where it is. They even know you, but they put you on speed dial. And all they tell you is that I got some supplies for you. Praise you on the speed dial. And you send yourself, no, you ain't doing nothing. You have to be radical. You have to go deep down to where the problem is. And I tell people, you want to be delivered, the Lord Jesus is telling you, cut it off. There are resources out there for you. Resources to get help. Resources to fix your life. Don't you know when you sin, you surrender your dominion to the devil? Don't you know that's what Adam did, and they surrendered what God gave them? And every time you fall victim, you're surrendering to him. And God has given you the dominion. He's given you the authority, and you give it to the devil because you don't want to really get rid of your problem. Finally, I'm going to take my seat. Number three deliverance that you must find in the Bible, the way to deliver. Watch this. Watch that same verse. When you've cut it off, you throw it from where? Verse 30. When you cut it off, you do what? Throw it from. After you have acknowledged and you have known what the problem is and you've been radical about it, then you put around you what I call healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries, because you throw it away and you want to now protect yourself from it. Let me bring it down. If the way to your job passed through Tip Top Liquor Store, just an illustration, and you go into your, and that's the quickest route, you might want to wake up half an hour early and go around Tip Top Liquor Store. Someone can hear me this morning. What you've done, you put boundaries around yourself. If you know there are friends that influence you so much that you can't just have the willpower to reject them, you want to either get them out or you want to move away from them. You cannot say to yourself, I'm going to keep them and I'm going to be well. No, you're violating boundaries. Boundaries require that you build something around your territory and nobody passes it. If you know, watch this now, watch it, it can happen to every brother. If you know you go on emotional affair in your job and you're sitting with that sister every time for lunch and you say, I'm praying for you, and we're sharing scripture together, and she's telling you about a problem, and you becoming, and you ain't no pastor, you ain't no clergy, you just a man that your wife ain't doing right at home, and all of a sudden you think you're Dr. Jesus. No, you got it wrong, my sister, my brother. What you doing, you're setting yourself up. You might have to leave that job and go somewhere else. Because you're violating a boundary that is obvious, because if you don't, you set yourself up. Some of you got phones that's got porn every minute in it. And you think, oh, Pastor Wally, don't bother me. No, you know bothers you. You know what you do. You don't even have to go find them. They look for you. They send you all kinds of stuff. I got emails saying, hey, honey. And I know my honey ain't upstairs. I know my honey's upstairs. No, honey ain't on the computer. Honey ain't looking at me. Honey ain't sending me no email. This ain't my honey. My honey's upstairs. I ain't going to open this joint because I know when I open it, when it catches my eye, trouble will start. I delete it off. I put boundaries. I don't open emails that ain't got no subject matter. If you email me and you ain't got no subject matter, he said, Pastor, well, you ain't going to find me, because as soon as I see that print, delete. Because I've made up my mind that this is not what I want to entertain. I got to defend, cover, protect myself. And listen, some movies, they will tell you, I go to the beach with my wife and I go to sleep every time I go there. Pastor, well, what's wrong with you? I put a cap on my face. I lay down in that bed and I look up to the Lord from where cometh my help, and I fall asleep because I don't want to look to the left. I don't want to look to the right because I got to see some things that my eyes should not see. And I keep myself. And she knows me. She said, I'm strange. I said, well, you just don't know what the Lord has done for me. Because if only you knew what the Lord has done for me, you ain't going to tell me I'm strange because I got to protect myself that I don't see what should not. And now, watch it. I got to bring this out. I got to sit down. But some people come with cleavage shown. I'm going to get letters. And they show it out. And you say, good Lord have mercy. And they say, Pastor Wally, can you pray for me? I say, oh Lord, it's going to be tough prayer right here, Lord. So what I do, I look to my left where they are not, they are my right. I say, hold my hand from a distance. And I pray for, Lord, help me. You put boundaries around you so you don't fail. Pastor Wally, what does all this mean to me? There is a balm in Gilead. There is a healing for the soul. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to take that balm in Gilead and apply it to your soul so that you can be healed? Let us pray. My Father, my God, even this morning I give you praise and thanks and just thank you for the grace that you've given to your servant that I can open your word and seek to discern your will. Father, may you now give the hearers the understanding to understand, thus says the Lord. And Father, for them to be able to do what is right. Because God, you are the one that has given us the authority. You've given us the dominion. Help us that we don't surrender it to the devil because of sin. But help us to walk in the freedom, in the liberty that you've given us, that we may glorify your name. And Lord, in this place, I know I'm not preaching to the choir because someone walked in here, didn't know what to expect, but the Lord shocked them because the Lord has discerned their thinking and is speaking directly to them. May you now give that person and those persons the grace to say, Lord, here am I. Change me. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And just say, amen.